gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
And I'm John O'Lobster. It's the end of the year, the end of the decade, and the end of the Skywalker saga. Join Legends Podcast as we count down our favorites from the past 10 trips around the sun, talk news and trailers, and reflect on the Mandalorian finale and the rise of spoilers. Skywalker, you've been warned.
I love how we decided to get together for a small show. Like just a quick little year in review.
Let's just talk about the last 10 years of our lives.
Right. Plus these two monumental things, one that comes to a close and one that continues on.
The same freaking weekend. It's like crazy. Okay. So first things first, it has been a year. It has been a year that saw the record broken for top box office earner of all time with Avengers Endgame. It's the year that saw the conclusion to two massive franchise storylines, the Infinity Saga. I believe you might have heard of it because I just talked about Avengers Endgame. Definitely. And of course, the Star Wars saga, the Skywalker saga with episode 9. And also, this is the year of streaming wars, right? We've got Disney Plus, CBS All Access, Apple Plus, and this and that, and everybody else having a streaming service and creating original content. And it's, yeah, this is crazy. So 2019, Beef, what are some of your favorite things that you saw, read, or played, or did, or talked about in the past year?
Well, one of my favorite things is, not favorite things, is the fact that all these streaming services are now making my life back to basically paying for cable.
Right.
So hopefully we can hash out some of these and get rid of a few of them and have some people die and fall by the wayside. Streaming services, not people. But this year, I mean, this last year and last decade, I'd say this last year was the, for me, playing wise, was the rise of all the stupid, which I love, battle royale type games, you know, your Call of Duties and your PUBGs all that stuff, and a lot of fun in that. My stupid phone game still, Clash Royale, but other than that, I didn't play a lot. What about you? Did you do any gaming in the past year or decade?
I didn't do a ton of computer gaming this year. I did get for my birthday the Sega Genesis Mini Classic.
Sega!
Yeah. So I realized that I'm terrible at all of these older games. I'm not good at Sonic. I'm not good at Vector Man. The only one I was kind of good at was Streets of Rage. Street Fighter I was bad at. Just all of them I sucked. So I kind of had to get those skills back a little bit to enjoy that. But there are some big video games that I'll talk about in a few minutes that I enjoyed within the past 10 years. But I think, you know, for me, the definitely feeling the streaming crunch was a big part of this year. So I limited myself and only started paying for one new service this year, which is Disney Plus. And I think just having that was really cool because of the nostalgia factor. And kind of the same for like the Sega Genesis, like going back and watching some shows that I loved when I was a kid was really cool. So I would say that this year is kind of defined by, like, you know, in addition to summing up these big franchises, it's kind of been a year of nostalgia for me too, and looking backwards at some stuff that I love that now you can experience in a new way is kind of cool.
I think a lot of this last year too was nostalgia. I mean, like at Stranger Things season 3 or whatever, it was '80s, you know, malls, and they're touching on
the 80s
that.
Are back in a big way, and I think that's a theme that will continue into 2020. I do want to talk about TV shows because, you know, I think some of my favorite stuff from this year has been some shows that I've discovered. I mentioned Disney Plus, so The Mandalorian, which we'll talk about a little bit more in depth later in the episode. Watchmen, which we've been talking about a shit ton, just kind of every week going back and updating. And obviously, that is feeling more and more like a one and done type of show where we're going to get one season and that's it. And I think just going back through that will be cool. And I'm hoping we get some side stories told in other media. The Watchmen has also been kind of explored in the DC Comics with Doomsday Clock and Before Watchmen. But from what I can tell, those are pretty disappointing. So I think to have like this one thing where it's a good Watchmen follow-up.
It's a great love story, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's kind of the core of it, and very interesting. So a couple of comedies that I've enjoyed this year as well. The first one I'll mention, because this has been on like everybody's list of like favorites of the year. So Fleabag with Phoebe Waller-Bridge. If you have not watched this yet, it's only two seasons. That's 12 episodes because it's British. So good. So funny. President Obama said that it was one of his favorite shows, which when you watch the show, it's really, really dirty. And just to think about the president, you know, the one we had that we kind of respect still, watching that, you're going to feel weird. The other one I'll mention is Letterkenny. I've talked about Letterkenny a lot. We got two new seasons this year, and it's been such a pleasure to go back. And I think I started that show watching the back episodes that were on Hulu over the summer and just absolutely enjoying that show. Movies, I got to say, quality-wise, I've been a little let down this year in the movies I've seen. I know Movie Dude Eric from the other week would come on and tell us about these great obscure films. Movies I saw in the theater that I really loved. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood has to be at the top of my list. Just an incredible experience watching that movie. It's long. It's kind of meandering. It is not the sort of zippy Tarantino. It is kind of meditative and self-reflective. It's got a great payoff at the end, but it's definitely an experience. And obviously, like, just talking about Marvel movies and wrapping up with Avengers Endgame. I also really enjoyed Captain Marvel. I know a lot of people weren't huge fans of it, but I thought it was a really solid entry into their franchise, and kind of looking at those side by side is fun. Beef, yeah. Anything else that you've been enjoying this year?
I mean, this year? No, not really. Nothing really jumps out at me. I was more in my past decade kind of list. But, I mean, I'm happy to have Rick and Morty back, the short bit we got him at the end of the year. Yeah. You know, Expanse coming back, all these things prepping for the new Westworld. I'm happy to have so much good TV and movies that have come out in the last 10 years. Yeah.
Sure. Looking back on the past year of podcasting, are there any highlights for you?
Yeah, we had some of our biggest months. That's always fun.
What were, just out of curiosity, because you pay closer attention to our downloads, and maybe you're a little bit more in tune with what our listeners like than I am. What were some of our hits?
Well, pretty much anytime we have a good tie-in with something, you know, if a movie's coming out, or even if it's not directly that movie, if it's the sequel before or whatever, it's
right.
People like to hear what's in the popular culture, you know. But no, just everything this last year from, actually, that's not even this last year. Spider-Verse is the year before, you know, but that's still one of my top like three movies of the last decade. Easy.
Yeah, I put that, I know that came out in 2018, but we ended up talking about it in 2019, and definitely talking about that film was one of my top episodes this year. Just getting to, that was definitely my favorite film of 2018. So to talk about it on the show was awesome. I think I mentioned, our Gosford Park episode, I think I mentioned getting drunk watching that movie and then podcasting about it like the next day. That was a lot of fun. Our Crazy Rich Asians episode, after so much hype, yes, thank you, was a lot of fun to unpack that as well. Definitely a little bit outside what we normally talk about.
Much better than I thought it was going to be, though, to be completely honest.
I have to say, I wouldn't be upset if we did more romantic comedies.
We would have to get Sean on occasionally because he's a romantic comedy glutton.
Yeah, but I mean, things that are kind of outside our wheelhouse, and I think the times that we've done documentaries, the time that we've done not sci-fi fantasy movies or action movies, that's a nice refreshing break to what we normally do. But so those are some of my faves.
What about the decade as a whole? I mean, we can kind of splattershot some of the movies and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, this again is crazy to think about because kind of what we talked about this year, I mean, really, this is we've been building up to. So if you think about where we started in 2010, right? And we did a couple movies this year that came out in 2009. We spent a lot of time looking back at 1999. But just thinking about the past 10 years and how Netflix didn't have its first original show, House of Cards, until 2012, right? So that was kind of like the beginning of the online only or streaming only release platform.
The mainlining them as well, that
right.
model.
And then, releasing it on one season full at a time so you can binge watch it. And if you think about the past 10 years, or really the past 8 years, that's all we've been doing. Everybody has been releasing things in these full season quantities, or maybe you'd get a half a season or volume one or something for a couple things. But I really think it's been the weekly shows that have stood out the most, and I'll talk about those a little bit in a minute.
There's that water cooler time,
Right. I mean, just to be able to catch up and talk about it. If you think about maybe the decade's biggest shows, Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, Rick and Morty, you could kind of put in that class, The Watchmen, Sherlock, The Mandalorian. These are all examples of shows, Fargo, that released one week at a time, or the traditional episode format. And I know you could put in Better Call Saul and some other shows that have done that as well. But, I kind of think that while the content delivery has been, this has really been the decade of streaming, I think if you're talking about pop culture and what's really capturing pop culture attention, it's still the shows that are released one week at a time.
Breaking Bad, Westworld. I mean, all that stuff that you have time to marinate on and develop thoughts and speculation and talk to your people and bump into them when you're out to dinner. And you and Wing have said before, you champion it, where if it all dumps in your lap, you may watch all of it the first weekend, and I may watch all of it within 2 weeks, but Wing doesn't watch it for 6 months.
Yeah. I would love to talk to you about the first 4 episodes of The Witcher that I've watched so far, but I don't think you've watched it yet. So I'm going to tell you very broad things later in the episode, but we're not going to really unpack it.
If The Witcher came out weekly, I would say, okay, well, I'll watch the first 4 this weekend, and by next week we'd be together again. A couple things for me that really stuck out. I mean, Logan was such a nice, awesome way to look at comic book movies when we were starting to get inundated.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And how, we obviously talked about the MCU and Avengers and all of that, but this is also, we're kind of getting the deconstruction of comic book heroes. Certainly Watchmen did it, The Boys, Logan,
The Boys,
Deadpool to a certain extent, really kind of breaking the fourth wall and doing a little universe imploding with those. So that's definitely part of it. I think definitely we are maybe in the postmodern comic book world at this point.
Well, you get stuff like Guardians of the Galaxy in this last decade, Thor Ragnarok, movies that really change what the comic book genre then isn't so grounded, or the comic book movie isn't grounded in Superman anymore.
We don't all have to be in our black leather and things like that. And let's not forget that this past decade saw twice the reinvention of Spider-Man. Well, I want to say three times the reinvention of Spider-Man, because you had The Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2. You had the Tom Holland Spider-Man Homecoming and Far From Home, plus his Avengers cameos, and you had Into the Spider-Verse. So you really got three Spider-Man origin stories told in one decade, plus we got Venom.
Yeah.
I just want to kind of run down this list. Now, I wrote a list of some of my favorite stuff. I encourage you to do the same thing. I know you felt like you were a little bit behind, so do you want me to go first and you can kind of fill in some stuff that I missed?
There's some overlap. Again,
like, I really spent a few days over the Christmas break thinking about, you know, what were my favorite movies from the past year? What were some of my favorite TV shows? And I want to emphasize the fact that I'm using the word favorite, meaning to me personally, and not necessarily best of. There have been countless best of lists published all across the internet, and I encourage you to make your own. But these are some things that, in terms of things I went out of my way to see, or things I went out of my way to own or rewatch, I got to start with Arrival.
Agreed.
A movie that we did a year or two ago in Cronovember, spoilers, but, you know, just this awesome, this is Denis Villeneuve doing Alien Invasion, but in such an intimate, amazing way. Also Alien Invasion, Attack the Block, which features Finn from Star Wars and the Doctor, the current Doctor Who. And I want to tie that with Dread, with Carl Urban. Now,
that was good.
That movie, to me, did not get enough praise. Like, I can't say enough good things really about either one of these movies. So I struggled with this next choice a little bit. And this has obviously been the decade of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right? Like, going all the way from the from Iron Man 2, Captain America, Thor.
Yeah, I mean, all of it, really, except
all the way to the conclusion in 2019 with Avengers Endgame. And you have amazing moments kind of sprinkled throughout. Captain America Winter Soldier, still an amazing movie. I have a soft spot for Iron Man 3. I don't know why. I enjoy that one. Thor Ragnarok, right? Like, Guardians 1 and 2. Like, I can't say enough about this franchise, but I tried to think, like, the biggest moment for me was the first Avengers film in 2012. That was kind of the culmination of that first phase, and that first time we saw all of these characters,
the spin around.
Like, to me, that experience in the cinema, I loved Infinity War. I loved Endgame, but that to me kind of that was it, man. Like, that was my geekgasm moment of the decade, I have to say. So maybe there weren't enough car chases in those movies, but Fast Five. So I kind of point at Fast Five as the moment where that franchise switched from being about, like, street racing to being about a multi-billion-dollar movie franchise, right? Like, you can look at Fast Five and be like, okay, yeah, that's where they switched gears. Because that, I mean, it's an amazing crowd-pleasing movie.
Heist movie, yeah.
Heist, you're right, and they switch. They do a heist movie, which is different kind of than
with
what
cars.
They've been. I mean, so good and so much fun. But I think kind of eclipsed by what I have seen many people point to as the movie of the decade, Mad Max Fury Road.
I got to watch this movie again because I saw it on so many people's top lists and I've only seen it maybe twice. I got it.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, like, this is one, we were in the middle of moving to New Jersey when this movie came out and I just did not get to the cinema to see it on the big screen. And that's probably my biggest regret of the past 10 years is I didn't see Fury Road on the big screen. So if they re-release it, I would definitely go, because just watching it on the small screen is an experience. A couple more movies that came out last year, Mandy, which we talked about on the show, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, I've already mentioned. A couple deep cuts here, Hell or High Water.
I just watched that.
Yeah, so this is definitely going in August next year. Mm-hmm. But I tied it with a Tarantino movie, The Hateful Eight. They're similar but different. I loved The Hateful Eight. I saw The Hateful Eight in their 70mm roadshow with the intermission. So much fun. A movie that surprised me, I think, the most. Now, this also became a franchise, and there's a second and third film and a TV series or multiple TV series. I don't even know. But the first one, and especially the soundtrack, has such a special place in my heart, How to Train Your Dragon.
I like the first one. That was a lot of fun. Yeah, way better than I thought I would like
it. Yeah, yeah. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I already mentioned. Inception. I know we're going to talk about the trailer for Tenet mm-hmm. in a little bit. Inception, taking you all the way back to 2010.
That's crazy.
So, a couple more. So, Pacific Rim and Tron Legacy. Now, these two movies, again, they're not going to be on anybody's best of the decade list. But if you're thinking about movies that really push the envelope of special effects in film, using CGI, but also like using characters within that story. So like you were invested in the characters, and kind of a message that gets missed by a lot of the big budget films. Really cool. Also The Shape of Water. So another movie that is using special effects, but was an Oscar-winning film. Like, we had a movie about a fish man win an Oscar. Like, that's crazy. All right, last one for my movies, The World's End. So I had a hard time with this. I love Edgar Wright. I thought about Scott Pilgrim. I thought about Baby Driver. But I think for wrapping up the Cornetto trilogy, getting to see the end of it in what really is, I think, the most personal story in that trilogy. We found out afterwards that Simon Pegg was going through recovery from drug and alcohol abuse, and the story of that film is very much in that spirit. But also Alien Invasion and a hell of a lot of fun.
I got a few that diverge from yours because, you know, we're not the same. So Get Out, for one. Mm. It just, that did some strange things to me that I never thought. I'm like, I don't know, it's a kind of a horror movie. And when I saw it, I was blown away. Edge of Tomorrow, for my love for all things time travel and weirdness, that really, it hit me where I liked it. And it was fun. The Groundhog Day, but war. Another one kind of in that same vein, but not at all, Time, is In Time, with Justin Timberlake and The Love of My Life, or one of them. Uh-huh. And, just the way they use time as a currency in this world it's something crazy to wrap your mind around, and I like that. We forgot everybody's favorite Gun Fu, John Wick, the first one.
Yeah, well, okay, so I debated that one, but I thought that's more a beef pick, so I would... I'll leave that to you, sir.
A Quiet Place, for sure, because I'd never seen a movie do sound or lack of sound so well. And we get the next one in March. And The Crazies. It's like right before Timothy Oliphant got huge. He did, it's like a spin on a zombie type movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of my favorite. If there's nothing on and I just want to watch something kind of crazy, kind of zombie-ish, I'll throw that one on 9 times out of 10. So, yeah, that's my list for
that's awesome.
The decade.
So what about TV? So I think the other takeaway from this decade, I mean, we're still at peak TV, which if you'd asked me in 2009, it kind of felt like we were at peak TV. So there are a ton of great shows that started in the 2000s that wrapped up in this decade. I tried to really focus my list on stuff that started in this decade, or at least started and ended in this decade. Black Mirror, we've talked about a lot on this show. And I still have not watched the most recent trio
Neither
of episodes that they've released. But, like, you know, I mean, come on, we're in peak TV, people. Give us a break. But I think the coolest thing was discovering that show first when it was on Netflix and watching kind of the first few episodes and then realizing that they were going to make more and do it as a Netflix original. And just such a fun anthology series that comments on technology and what it's doing to us or could do to us.
The best and scariest part of that show is the, like, reality and taking everything to the nth degree and then going even further, you know?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. A couple more. I think these are going to be on pretty much everybody's list. So Downton Abbey, I know you're not really that into it, but we just watched the Downton Abbey movie. Anyway, so this is, it's a period drama, but so much fun. Fargo, Game of Thrones,
yep.
Rick and Morty, yep. Sherlock, yep. Stranger Things. Yep. Again, Watchmen, Westworld.
Yep, yep.
I think these
I
are going
to
be on
a podcast on Westworld and The Expanse because I yeah, love them yeah. so much. Justified, yeah. I know you had that.
Yeah, so I put a couple others on here. So DC's Legends of Tomorrow. Again, the whole Arrowverse, interconnected comic book universe on television, I have loved so much since Arrow premiered, and then we got The Flash. I did a podcast about The Flash for a while, and really, like, if you put a gun to my head and ask me which was my favorite of those, it has to be Legends of Tomorrow, because to take characters from all the different shows and all the different time periods and universes and also do a time travel show where it's superheroes on a time travel spaceship doesn't get much cooler than that, right?
No, I mean, that now that you lay it out all like that, I might start watching because I never knew the premise.
Oh, absolutely. Like that, I mean, basically, as our friend Haley describes it, they travel to different time periods and get in bar fights. So it's
sounds like my
kind of
people.
It's a pretty great show, yeah. And I mean, we all had a happy Bebo Day last week. So, you know, in the Bebo Day spirit, I think we can celebrate the show. I mentioned Letterkenny. I mentioned The Mandalorian. This has also been the age of, as streaming services giveth, they also taketh away.
Yeah.
So a couple of my favorite shows premiered on streaming services and were then canceled by streaming services. So Santa Clarita Diet is the Timothy Oliphant, Drew Barrymore comedy that's also a zombie story.
Zombity?
Yeah, it's a zombity. And that was great. We got three seasons, and then Netflix axed it. The Tick, again, postmodern superhero comedy. So well done, so amazing. I was a big Tick fan from the comics, the cartoon show, but to see it, the live action, really, really good. A couple others that I'll mention, The Bodyguard, Sherlock, and The Young Pope. And we're going to get another season of that, or we're going to get The New Pope as the follow-up to it next year. But again, great, great, great TV.
You can't forget Chernobyl, since we're talking about HBO, and Castlevania. I mean, that's over the last decade, that's probably one of my favorite anime shows.
Oh, yeah, I would put
shows.
That on my list.
Easy.
Yeah. I would add that to my list, yes. Yeah.
Well, you got a pile of other stuff here for our favorites, so why don't you rip into some of those?
Yeah, listen, I mean, we're talking about movies and TVs, but there's other stuff that we enjoy. And I mentioned video games. So The Elder Scrolls Skyrim, believe it or not, that was released in 2011, and I have basically spent the last 8 years going on various quests. building multiple houses, getting married, adopting children, and eating a lot of cheese.
I do that last part because I'm from Skansen.
Yeah, well, of course. So you appreciate, yeah. So Skyrim, again, like, I don't know if there's another video game series that, for me, eclipses it yet in terms of what this decade has accomplished. But Portal 2 is a close second. And obviously, you know, the first Portal game was amazing, but short. This one was definitely longer. I'm still waiting for more Portal. Like, really? What's going on? But I need to go back to that world very, very soon. What about you, gaming-wise? I know you mentioned a couple.
But... that really started to my earliest thoughts for the decade, honestly, probably were, and I know it says 2014, but Titanfall. When that came out, okay. And Titanfall 2, it took the, I don't know, the slog that had become shooters and the weird crap, and it made them multi-dimensional, right? You had large robots, but you could fight in or outside of your mech. Your mech would fight beside you. I don't know, it had enough few extra layers that made it fun, and I'll still throw Titanfall 2 in my Xbox and have some fun with it.
Yeah.
What else?
Yeah, you're more of a console gamer, right?
Yeah, I'd like to get to PCs. I don't know. Okay. I always feel like I'm not smart enough for a PC.
Yeah, I do most of my gaming. I don't, other than the Sega thing now, I do PC games, but... I'm going to make the rare plug for another podcast. Welcome to Night Vale. I know it has been around for a while now, but, you know, it's a short, weird podcast. You get a new song every week and, you know, just this weird universe where, you know, do not enter. I just think back to the first episode. Do not approach the dog park. Do not enter the dog park. I don't know, like, that's just a fun podcast. The Expanse book series was great. I also am a fan of the show like you are, but I'm not quite as caught up as you are. All Are Wrong Today's by Elon Mustai.
That's a great name.
So this is a time travel novel that a coworker of mine turned me on to, and I ended up using it for the time travel class that I taught this past semester. And it's about a guy who lives in the perfect world where there's no hunger and no poverty, and, you know, all our avocados are always ripe no matter what. And really, there's no need for money. Energy is limitless, so everyone can be their best selves. And he falls in love and makes a mistake and uses time travel to try to fix it, and ends up creating the 2016 that we all live in, our reality, where, you know, there is poverty and war and hunger and our avocados get mushy. So, and then he falls in love again. And it's kind of about, what do you do? Do you create the perfect world for everyone or your own perfect destiny? So, lot of fun with that. Comics, I really got back into comics this decade. Started doing some collecting. Spencer and Locke, which is by an indie publisher. It is a adult, gritty detective story about a red-haired detective and his tiger partner.
Nice.
So it is basically an update to Calvin and Hobbes, but much... you know, much more adult. And they actually did two series, which are awesome. You should check them out. One other thing that happened this decade, so Conan the Barbarian, I'm going to talk about Conan again in a second, is the rights have kind of bounced around to different publishers, but the first people to publish Conan the Barbarian comics was Marvel. And so this year, or actually last year, they got the rights back and started publishing Conan stories again, and they've been great. They've done kind of a mainline Conan story. They've done the Savage Sword of Conan kind of anthology. They've done backstories on Belit and Valyria, and they also published Conan, a one-shot, Conan 2099, and then they brought Conan forward into the main Marvel universe and had him join the Avengers, or the Savage Avengers. So that has been a ton of fun, seeing what they do with the character, and maybe we'll get Conan in the MCU someday, who knows?
I checked out some of Saga. I kind of fell off of that one a bit, but that was pretty fun for comics. And there's another one, too, that because I fell off of them a little while ago, I don't know the name of. But there's been a lot of good graphic novels and comics this, at least the last 5-10 years that I've at least kind of dabbled into.
Yeah. What about older stuff that you might have just rediscovered or rediscovered?
I went back and read my favorite author, some of his books. I just, you know, it's stuff that I enjoy. Matthew Riley, most of his works. He had a couple new books come out, obviously, in the last decade, so he's always fun. Other than that, I don't know. What about you? I know you said you reread some of my favorites.
Yeah, so right around the time that Game of Thrones hit, the TV show, I went and read all the Game of Thrones novels like everybody else. So I'm all caught up with those. And then I started exploring some other fantasy stuff because I got really into it, I would say, this decade. So I read The Legend of Drizzt by R.A. Salvatore. So the Icewind Dale trilogy, I read those.
Great books.
Yeah, absolutely. The Black Company by Glenn Cook. So this is kind of a military fantasy. I read The Books of the North, which is his first three books. I read all of the Conan works by Robert E. Howard, the original creator of Conan. So I read all of his short stories and the novel that he wrote featuring Conan. And I just started the Pfeffered and the Grey Mouser series by Fritz Lieber. So again, kind of a classic of the fantasy genre that I had just never read before.
It's nice when you can pop into some old works and really enjoy them.
Yeah, I think there's so much new stuff that comes out all the time that it's a good idea sometimes to pause and say, all right, well, what is this riffing on? What is this based on? Like, and you go back and you realize, oh, that's like all of these archetypes have been, you know, this is where they're getting that from. So
yeah, it's kind of cool. No new ideas anymore. It's just regurgitated stuff.
No. And there's definitely new takes on it and new explorations and things like that. But it's fun to go back and read the archetypes. And sometimes it can be problematic. There's some stuff in Robert E. Howard's. I mean, he was a white man who grew up in rural Texas in the 1920s. So, you know, there's issues. But right. there's also fun stuff as well. So.
Sweet. Well, any other favorites of this year, or should we?
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, I think we can talk about one of my favorites of this year a little bit more in depth, but this has been a decade for sure.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, next year Legends Podcast will celebrate its 10th anniversary.
I believe so. Wing would be able to answer that better. I think it was 2010 or late 2010.
At least the banner on our page says since 2010. So
well, then damn it, I hope he wasn't wrong then. He might have been lying.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, let's talk about a show, a television show.
Okay.
That was released one episode per week on a streaming service, Disney Plus. And if you bought Disney Plus, other than the classic content you were interested in, you probably got it so you could watch The Mandalorian.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
I personally know I'm glad I got it for The Mandalorian. It's the best Star Wars content we got this year.
Ooh.
I mean,
a bold pronouncement that no one will argue with.
No, exactly. Everyone said, oh, Star Wars live action, it'll never work. And, you know, were the episodes short a little bit? Yeah. Was it still good content? Yeah. But, damn. I mean, other than the one episode that was just too much fan service for me, I pretty much overall...
Which one was that?
Was it the third to last one?
Where the prison break?
No, maybe the fourth. Just where they were like... On Luke's home planet, and they went to
the gunslinger. Yeah,
they
Tatooine,
went to the cantina, and like it was just too much.
Yeah, okay.
It was basically like this last movie, too much fan service and no real story.
You did sign language with the Tusken Raiders and all that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, just like this last movie, too much fan service and not enough story.
Yeah, you know, I think the thing with The Mandalorian is they went back to what Star Wars started as, which is basically a pastiche of stuff that's already been done. And they went back and they did kind of Sergio Leone and the, you know, the Man with No Name. They did the spaghetti westerns. They did Seven Samurai.
Samurai and Cub.
Yep. They did Lone Wolf and Cub, True Grit.
Damn it.
They did kind of the Prison Break, which had a lot of like aliens, you know, vibe from that. I got a lot of aliens and that kind of stuff. Escape from New York, and then kind of this last two episodes, you know, really were just, let's play in the Star Wars universe, man. Let's have TIE fighters and droids and speeder bikes and stormtroopers and the whole deal. So, I mean, it's been really interesting watching the show unfold. I mean, obviously the reveal of Baby Yoda has captured the internet's attention in a way I didn't even think was still possible. But
well,
I mean,
it's basically Grumpy Cat, but with something everybody knows, right?
Take something cute that you can put into memes,
right?
And that's, you know, you're golden, man. You are good to go.
But see, there's also a reason for it to be there, even if we don't know it yet. This is a perfect, it's a perfect example of something that should be in the environment, and it's not just like there to be cute. I mean, it is, but I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really think that this is a triumph. Obviously Jon Favreau, Dave Filoni, are two people who understand Star Wars very well and also understand storytelling. And I think really what is so interesting about this, series is you have some episodes are only 30 minutes. You have episodes that are very, very tight, in terms of the actual story, not a lot of plot really transpires. They're almost, you don't need the previously on The Mandalorian too much. I think the final two episodes were really
that
had it, because they, you know, they brought you back to some characters you met before.
Everything else was a condensed story, really,
right? And you had a character who you didn't even know what, you know, what their face looked like. And my wife and I both agreed when we watched the most recent episode, it was actually seeing his face, kind of a letdown, right?
Well, because, I mean, I'll be honest, he's still got a little bit of the weight from Wonder Woman 1984.
Oh,
he's not, okay. He's not the ravishing sand.
It wasn't swelling from the massive head trauma
it could have
that
been.
He had suffered.
It could have been. Yeah. I picture him as the Viper from Dorne, the smooth-talking 80s salesman from Wonder Woman trailers.
Yeah, I understand. But again, like, this is such an interesting thing. I also want to say, like, it's interesting that, like, we knew that Gina Carano and Nick Nolte and Giancarlo Esposito and Ming-Na were going to be in this show.
All perfect.
Taika Waititi as well. But you didn't see their characters for, I don't know, they each maybe were in, what, three episodes, four episodes?
And not a lot. Gina Carano got of it. And honestly, her best acting by far already. It's just a bruising, gunslinging dropper.
I think her arms, her biceps, are kind of this
arm wrestling.
It's so interesting and kind of almost subversive if you think about it. Like, the fact that, despite the fact that we have this sort of no limits streaming ability where you don't have to make a show that's 42 minutes with commercial breaks and act breaks, and you don't have to have a top build cast that appears every episode. This is one of the few shows that actually take that license and run with it, right?
Yeah, it's not.
We don't
like,
have to have a set runtime. We don't have to do this. We don't have to do that. Like, this is its own thing. It can be its own thing, and just let it go.
And I've heard people going, oh, well, hopefully, and even after the first two episodes, there were murmurs of this on the internet. Well, hopefully they'll make a Mandalorian movie. Absolutely not. I don't want a 2 or 2.5 hour movie. I want, even if they're 30 to 40 minutes, like some of these little bastards were short, I still got 9, say, 30-minute episodes. That's still 4.5 hours. Yeah. Way better content, even though some of it was filler and a lot of it, there was no speaking for half the episodes. But you know what? It worked.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, I don't have much to complain about with this. No. With this
Should
series,
we get to the complaining?
The only thing I want to complain about is, now what do I watch on Disney Plus?
There's nothing other than nostalgia.
Right, other than nostalgia, that is it. Now, they did release Togo, which is the dog bobsled movie with Willem Dafoe, which I do want to watch. Mm-hmm. I still need to watch Lady and the Tramp, and obviously there's existing content there that I'm definitely going to keep watching Gargoyles.
But nothing is drawing you back on a weekly basis.
But again, so there's no more water cooler talk for Disney Plus for a while.
See, when I watch stuff like this and, say, Watchmen, because we talked about that, now that I've taken 9 weeks to watch each of them, it's like I want to go back now because I know what's coming and binge it in a weekend where you can kind of absorb more, right?
Right. And I've been, I started watching The Witcher and a couple other shows kind of in this break that I'm off from work. And I'm forcing myself to watch one episode at a time.
Nice.
So I've watched 4 episodes of The Witcher so far, and I've watched 1 a day. Not 2. I'm not binging it. I'm saying, okay, I'm going to watch 1 episode, and I'm going to stop. I'll do something else or watch something else, and then go back to it like the next day. Now, that's takes some willpower, I will admit, but it's nice to kind of let it sit.
I can just do 2.
And you
do 2.
Think about it, right. It's nice to let it sit for a day. And even if I'm not talking about it with someone, I can still kind of have my own internal thoughts and just, okay, now it's, after I finish recording this episode, I will probably watch another episode or this podcast. I'll go back. But yeah. All right. So I also went to the movies.
I think you and I and everyone else did because we wanted to get back to the internet, not necessarily to see the movie.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, so I got to give credit to the internet for not spoiling me too much about this movie. There were a couple little things that I figured out kind of based on context clues, but Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, Episode 9, the conclusion of the 9-film Skywalker saga, begun 42 years ago. They celebrate every 42 years in 1977, concluded in 1983, restarted 20 years ago in 1999, concluded in 2015, restarted in 2015, concluded in 2019. Here we are.
Yeah, I mean, it was a movie. Okay, I'm going to dart some of these out. Feel free to interjaculate your own thoughts here. They relied too much on fan service. They tried to tie up every single thing that they thought people would bitch about instead of taking the time to leave some dangling threads like most good narratives do.
I mean, I do like a dangling thread.
Like getting some good writers and writing a compelling story, they just threw everything at the wall, hope it stuck. The fucking, at the very end, spoilers, by the way, we're going to put lots of spoiler things on here, but
yes, go
if
ahead.
You're listening
spoiler,
this far
spoiler,
and you
spoiler.
Don't shut it off, it's your own fault. Uh-huh. At the very end, when Ben brings back Rey or whatever happens there, I'm screaming in my head, don't kiss, Don't kiss. Don't kiss. Please don't kiss. Please don't kiss. They should have just pressed heads together. They should have, like...
Headbutted?
I'm like furious about these things. I'm glad he died right there. That's the only way that that makes that kiss semi-acceptable. I don't know. It's an okay movie, and I'll watch it again someday, but I'm not paying for it. And... I don't know. They left me. Where'd all the Star Destroyers come from that the Final Order had?
Who built them?
Okay, droids built them. Who's on them? So now they've improved planet-busting tech to put one on each one of those 500 Star Destroyers. So the robots built them. Who's manning those ships? Are they all fucking droids?
They got the one out because they blew up that planet.
No one said anything for the last 30 or 40 years? I mean, what?
Snoke. They grew Snoke in a jar?
The small ships, Rey's ship, flying through the red clouds of yuckety yuck on her journey that she has to make tight turns, but now you have big fucking ships going in and out of those lanes as well. At least in Solo, it slowed them down when they had to go, the big ships went into the blockade, messy space storm shit. I'm sorry. What do you got?
It's okay. I think you're right because this movie is a bit of a mess. I think it suffers from the weight of expectation. And how do you possibly wrap up a story as
lengthy
and convoluted? And they did not have an end game when they started. And the first trilogy didn't have an end game when they started because Luke and Leia kiss. Mm-hmm. And then the next movie, you find out they're brother and sister.
Right.
The prequels were the only ones that began with an end in mind. And people hated those. And so they set off to make a new trilogy. They said, well, for the first one, let's just remake the first one that everybody likes, right? For the second one, they said, let's blow all that shit up. And the third one was like, well, now what? Like, we have to give everyone a crowd-pleasing conclusion to something that, let's truly be honest. How many great Star Wars movies are there? There's like two, right? There's Star Wars.
My favorite is The Empire. Force Awakens.
Right, The Force Awakens, which is, again... You know, a rehash of A New Hope.
Yep.
And, like, it's just, there is no, it's a Kobayashi Maru. It's a no-win scenario that you're faced with. But
didn't it feel so like they tried everything too much?
They did. And I think what had happened was they had a script and they had a director who they fired. And they had a plan that heavily featured a legacy actress who sadly passed away.
Yeah.
And they said, well, okay. So the way we had originally envisioned concluding the saga is no longer feasible. Because we're going to bring back J.J. Abrams. And he doesn't want to tell the same story that Colin Trevorrow and Derek Connolly wanted to tell. But he still wanted to heavily feature Carrie Fisher, who unfortunately that wouldn't be possible, and they kind of had to rely on what they already had shot and could kind of recycle semi-effectively into what they could do.
I'm sad too. And
I think that fate dealt this movie a really tough blow. However, I think you have so much to draw on from the Star Wars, what's now called Legends, where like the return of the Emperor has been envisioned multiple times. The fate of these characters has been envisioned multiple times. You know, I think the mystery of Rey was, I think, best solved in The Last Jedi, where they said, yeah, you're nobody. Like, you're just not anybody special. But that doesn't have to mean what you become isn't special. Like, I really think the whole Rey is a Palpatine, it didn't sit with me.
I would have rather had Rey be a virgin birth like fucking Anakin was.
Like, that didn't sit with me either, but...
That would have been better, though, because then she would have legitimately come from nobody.
Yeah. I would rather have them say, like, look, there's... Like, there was this prophecy where somebody born under this sort of sun and this sign on this planet on this day was to be the vessel of the next Sith immortal. And that's you. Like, you're not, it doesn't matter who your parents were, like, you're just the one I need to transfer my whatever into so I can live forever. Like, you don't need to be my granddaughter, right? Like, I didn't need genealogy to be a part of it, because it never really was a part of why he was emperor. He just stole power. Like, we saw him do it, right? I am the Senate.
Who the fuck was the Sith? Who was Snoke?
Snoke, he grew in a jar, which that I actually enjoyed. That I liked a lot. I don't know if that means he was just like pulling the strings from Exegol, but right. I don't, you know, that was fine. So again, there's parts of this movie I really enjoyed.
Who built the starships?
I liked the pacing of the movie. I know a lot of people have complained, you know, it's too much, and they run here, and they run there, and they go there, and they go here, and then they're there, and then they're here. Like, I kind of enjoyed that. Like, the Last Jedi is so deliberately paced and such an intimate story that was kind of a nice breather, and I was ready to get back to the frenetic JJ stuff. But I think the core of The Last Jedi, which to me is still kind of the best of these three, is forget the past. We did a lot of fucking up, us Jedi. You know, we really kind of made a hash of things. You know, let's the past is a trap, nostalgia is a trap. You're like let's go forward. Like let's toss that shit aside and focus on making a better tomorrow. And again, I felt us backsliding a bit with this one. Part of me feels like that was deliberate, because that aspect of The Last Jedi did not sit well with a lot of people who really, really, really want to hold on to those toys that they collected. Well, look, whatever it is.
You hit the Asian character back at the base because people didn't like her last time, you fucking fanboys.
So the writer talked about that, and he said that what had happened was they wanted to feature her and Carrie Fisher
to be like an anchor.
Right. And they said, let's take this character who's really kind of the heart of the movie and have her be the one to hang out with General Leia, but we can't use all the scenes we plan to use, so we kind of had to cut her out of the movie. Anyway.
Yeah. It seems like again, it could just be a good, what you call, you know, a good excuse, or it really happened. I don't know.
I think this film suffered from problems that were outside of its control.
And you, just by saying that and reminding me that, you know, Carrie Fisher was supposed to have a lot bigger role.
It
gives me a little bit, it gives the movie a little bit of leeway in my mind.
Right, and it's... If you look at the trilogy, it's Han is the anchor for the first one, mm-hmm. Luke is the anchor for the second, and Leia is the anchor for the third. And it just didn't work that way, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't know. They missed something. Granted, it's not all their fault, but
no. And again,
a good portion of it is.
Yeah, you and I, we both just saw this movie. We are coming pretty fresh off of our own thoughts and also trying to absorb everyone else's thoughts on this. This is going to need some time. I will say what a lot of people have said, which is I need to see it again.
Yep.
Because I need to, you know, really really experience what this was and what happened.
Yeah, instead of being reactionary, be able to sit back know what you thought happened.
And again, I will say, like, on the whole, an unpopular opinion, I like Return of the Jedi. So, on the whole, I felt that this was an enjoyable film to watch. Like, there wasn't any part of the film where I was like, ugh, why are we doing this? This is dumb.
Except for the kiss.
This sucks. This is stupid.
Except for the kiss.
All right, yeah, but the kiss I saw coming and I was okay because he disappeared.
That's the only thing that made it okay.
And I think, like, who does Rey have the most chemistry with? She has the most chemistry with Kylo Ren.
I know.
It's not Finn. It's not Poe. They have great chemistry with each other.
I know, and I get that. It's not in their character. They had hated each other and despised each other so much, even though they had great chemistry.
Yeah.
The best part of this movie, to me, honestly, was their out of sync yet in sync fight scenes where they would pass the lightsaber between realities. Yeah. That shit was dope.
Yep.
And I'm excited. Like I said, I'll see this movie again, but I have no interest in paying to see it again. You know, there's no way. Yeah. I have no interest right now. Give me 6 months and a little cool down time. and then I'll be fine.
Yeah, I will. You know, you're not wrong. I think that you've got a right to that feeling. And honestly, if the film were better, I could defend it more.
Right.
I don't think it was awful, but I think there are structural flaws in it. I would have liked a different first act, I think, and I would have liked a different third act. I think the middle of the film is fine. I think the C-3PO stuff was great, like what they did with his character, who really hasn't gotten much to do yet in this trilogy. I like D.O. I liked the...
Who's D.O.? The new droid?
Yeah, the...
The only the droid lamp. That speaks people?
Yeah, the lamp one.
Yeah.
Who has PTSD or whatever.
Yep.
I liked Keri Russell's character. I liked Babu Frick. I don't know what the hell he was doing there, but he was fine. The Death Star, the crash Death Star stuff was
that
cool.
That was cool.
I thought Exegol looked cool, but also that doesn't seem like a place you would actually want to build your ships.
There's a lot of cool parts. It's just when you stitch them all together, it becomes very impractical.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't know. Do you have some more notes? I mean,
no, I don't. But you know, I think what's worth considering is where to go from here. So they've said no more Skywalkers, but do you want to see these characters again?
Sure. We know Finn is force sensitive now because he reacted to like five things and got a little force boner. I get it.
He did.
So, if they're around again, sure, but maybe it is time to cut ties with this whole segment of the galaxy. Look how well The Mandalorian is doing, just fucking off somewhere to some
existing,
other part, you know, of the universe without having to be in Carrie Fisher or Luke or anybody's shadow, you know? And not to do a disservice to their story.
Boba Fett.
Yeah, or Boba Fett, you know what I mean. So.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it'll be interesting to see where they go. They've said that they want to start releasing a new Star Wars film every year, but they need to come up with some ideas. I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, my name is Ray.
Ray who?
Rate this movie for Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker.
Whoa.
Are you going... Legendary.
I have spoken.
Legend of its time.
One with the Force.
Cult legend.
The Return of the Jedi.
Awesome.
Babu Frick, hey, hey!
Entertaining.
This is the way.
Mayable.
Sith happens.
Forgettable.
McClunky.
Abysmal.
That's not how the Force works.
Spring Breakers D&D.
Star Wars Revenge of the Sith.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of fetch quests. Okay. I want to refuse to rate this movie.
You're refusing?
I want to abstain from rating this movie.
You're pleading the fifth on this movie right now?
I'm pleading the fifth on this movie. So I honestly think that this film is unrateable because how do you...
You're sounding very me all of a sudden. You're being very wishy-washy.
How do you wrap up this saga? What do you want from this saga?
It's not a choose-your-own-adventure.
What? Well, okay. That's the point, right? It's not a choose-your-own-adventure. This Star Wars, unfortunately, I think, is one of those franchises that means different things to different people. There are so many stories in Star Wars. There are so many characters in Star Wars. There are so many planets and species and technologies and ways to exist in this galaxy that to say that this one answer is the correct answer to life, the universe, the force, and everything, that's an impossible question to answer. And I think it's hubris to say that we can do it in 2.5 hours because the answer is you can't. You can't satisfactorily conclude this story, this saga. You can do an awesome, nostalgic, let me make you feel like you were a kid again opening chapter. You can do a thought-provoking, polarizing, enrage the fanboys, but at the same time, like, call bullshit on the whole experience, middle chapter. But you can't. You cannot write the final word. It's a fool's errand to even attempt it. Because you're never going to satisfy everyone. You're never going to satisfy yourself. There's always something you wish you'd done a little bit differently, that you'd added, a different planet that you visit, a different character that you wish you could have used. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you satisfactorily...
You can't please everybody.
You can't please everybody. And honestly, I don't think you can please yourself because whatever you do is for you. It's not going to be for the audience. It's not going to be for the fans. Right?
I think I could have been pleased with
maybe
this.
Maybe a choose-your-own-adventure is the way to go. Maybe a more open-ended ending is the way to go. Maybe Rey opens her mouth and we smash cut to black. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what you would do. Like, do you have her say Skywalker? Do you have her say, my name's Rey Lightsaber Sandface, Rey Moisture Farming Bantha Poodoo, Rey, I'm gonna speak in Wookish. Like, I don't know, what do you do? Like, it's such a JJ ending, though, to have her go, I'm Rey Skywalker. He just likes everything in a nice little package, but I don't know how you accomplish it. And for that reason, I don't know how you rate this movie. Like, there were things I absolutely loved about this movie. I would go high, perhaps as awesome, Babu Frick, hey, hey. There are parts that are forgettable. There are parts that are basically what, if you were George Lucas, you would go back in 10 years and fix, right? You would have, you know, better technology to have a CGI Carrie Fisher come in and have her do the scenes you actually wanted to do rather than what you had to work with. Like, again, I don't know. Like, this, it's so difficult for me to rate, having only watched it once and just sat with it for a couple days. I don't know. Like, I don't know what to tell you on this one. Beef?
Well, you heard my one-sided rant before about all the problems I have with it. I think they could have made this a bit better for me because I wasn't a diehard fan, right? But then you would have pissed off a lot of the fans, all the people who read the EU, and all the half those people were pissed off anyways because it's not the stuff isn't most of the stuff isn't in the EU, right? Like you said, having watched it only one time, I got to go Sith happens. I got to go Mayabal. I mean, maybe after a couple more watches, it'll be entertaining, but I think I'll still see the flaws in it. I only went 7 days after it came out, maybe not even.
Right, right.
And
yeah,
people were trying to, I saw too many spoilers and I tried not to, or it just,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's what the internet is nowadays, and I get it, but I don't. Maybe I went in with too low expectations or too high expectations, or,
right,
you know, I just, it's totally Sith happens. There's parts of it I really like and I really enjoy, and aspects I could really bite onto, but other stuff I just, they tried to force all of it into a neat fucking box. If it fits, it ships, you know, totally put a J.J. Abrams stamp, yeah, on it. But for now, I'll revisit it. I'd even say in a year I'd rewatch it with you guys, because,
right,
that maybe then it'll take the sting off of it. But right now, Sith happens.
Okay.
Last word on Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker, the end of the Skywalker saga.
What would you say her last name should be?
I'm going to be a fucking cheese bastard and say I was okay with that, because I knew it was, okay, coming. Like, I was so disgusted by the kiss that when she said, I'm a Skywalker, I was like, whatever.
I would have said, I'm just Rey. Like
Madonna.
You, lady.
Like Madonna, like, or
also,
Prince.
Also, who the fuck are you on your lizard horse rolling up on my, like, not my family's abandoned farmstead, because no one I'm related to ever lived here. Just one guy I met on an island one time who drank blue milk out of some thing's titty. Like, I'm just Ray. Like, get the fuck away from me. Like,
do you need to see my passport?
Yeah, like, okay. I'm just Ray is fine. I knew it was going to end with the twin sons. Like, as soon as they were on Tatooine, I'm like, oh, obviously it's going to end with the two sons. But
is that how the first one ends or starts?
Well, it's how the third one ends. Remember, A New Hope ends in the throne room. Also, Chewie gets his medal because he's a dog person and he didn't get a medal originally. But,
you know,
I would have just had her say, look, I'm just Rey. The name The Rise of Skywalker is stupid. There was no payoff behind that movie title. I will say that. That was a dumb title.
Yeah, if it said The Last of the Skywalker, then I would have thought it was paid off when Palpatine said it to Kylo Ren.
Yeah. The rise of your butt, like,
and
just whatever.
Send your hate mail to Legends Podcasts with an S for super, but send that to us here, because
Snoke. S stands for Snoke.
This is a bad thought, but I almost wish they would have killed Chewie. The gravity, or let it hang on his death longer than 30 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, don't want people to walk out.
In the comics, they threw a planet on him and he died, so.
I mean, I get it. You can't kill Chewie, but for like a minute, I was like, oh my God, they killed Chewie, and I felt
they did
good about it.
Also, Peter Mayhew died, and it's a different guy. Like, you know that, right? Like, it's not.
No, I guess I didn't.
It's not the same Chewie.
No.
So, let's just let him rest in peace.
Right.
Okay. Beef, what time is it?
Lots of news time.
This is shaping up to be a long episode.
That's all right.
But that's okay, because it's the last one of the decade.
And with enough time, I'll get it edited and out.
Yeah. Okay, so box office, again, we took last week off. No surprise, Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker came in top box office. You know, what's interesting is Cats.
Oh, my God.
Fucking flopped.
So,
like,
so they sent out a copy that people used for, what, 3 to 5 days, and then they sent out a patched, updated version?
Yeah, after people called them on unfinished CGI.
Oh.
Yeah, like Judi Dench, you see her whole hand with her ring on it. It's not a cat hand. Mm. There are other shots that weren't finished. But apparently they ran out of time, and they just had to have that Christmas release to go up against Star Wars. And so Cat's like an ignominious flop. Yeah, ignominious. 6.6 million on opening weekend, even lower the following weekend. And, you know, this you know, really, I have five different articles explaining why the movie flopped, what went wrong, what were people's reactions, and basically no one asked for it,
right?
No one wanted it, and no one liked it.
Isn't that exactly what we said like a year and a half ago when they were starting to make it? We said this would have been great like 20 years ago when the run ended.
No. Yeah. But nobody wanted it. Nobody asked for it. Nobody went to it. Okay. So, again, no big surprises from the box office. It'll be interesting to see. We are moving into January, which is both the dumping ground of the cinematic calendar and the awards bait ramp up. So, seeing kind of what floats to the top or what turds sink to the bottom will be interesting. Rise of Skywalker is on pace to do better than The Last Jedi, but is still pacing behind The Force Awakens. Okay, so we did get some news, despite the fact that it was the holiday week. We got our first look at Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Yeah, I mean, they're old.
They are old. Keanu Reeves looks like Keanu Reeves. The other guy looks like the guy.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, I don't... this maybe I'll rent, unless Wing needs to see it, then maybe I'll go.
Yeah. But. Yeah. Rick and Morty will release a Pringles line during the Super Bowl. So, I don't know what this even means.
I am going to...
Pickle Rick flavored chips.
I am going to... If that's the only one they have, or if they have more, I'm totally going to collect each one.
Yep.
Pickle Rick's my favorite.
The Lord of the Rings series cast young Galadriel... Morfydd Clark.
She's got the nose and the cheekbones.
Yeah,
she looks.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah, she looks like a young Kate Blanchett. Yep. He-Man and the Masters of the Universe animated series will come to Netflix.
I mean, She-Ra's doing good, right? So why not? Right.
And Kevin Smith is also working on a series. I think this is different from that.
He's working on a He-Man.
He is. Yeah. He-Man is.
Okay.
Okay. Zachary Levi joins Jodie Foster and Benedict Cumberbatch in the Guantanamo Bay drama Prisoner 760.
I knew nothing about this.
I didn't either, other than Zachary Levi strikes me more as a comedic actor, so that's interesting.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. Guantanamo, a guy who wrote his memoirs for being in there, imprisoned, you know, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't sound like his shit, but I'll try it. I like him.
Cool. According to Netflix, the Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston movie Murder Mystery was their most popular movie title. It was not a great year for Netflix movies.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I mean, that seems weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
30 million accounts,
Their whole list is weird. So if you look at it and then you also think about what they actually released, like, they don't mention Friends or The Office at all, which is like, okay, but really, like, everybody was watching Friends, right? Because it's not going to be on there.
So, apparently, Disney is going to be releasing a Star Wars film every year, every 2 years or every year?
Every year, starting in 2022. And as we said, like, they might need help coming up with ideas. So, George Lucas was famously upset that they did not use his story treatments for the sequel trilogy that just wrapped up. Kind of makes you wonder, like, what were his ideas? And if so, would they have been
somebody would have bitched, better? Though.
What?
Somebody would have bitched. Somebody always bitches.
Oh, no. Like I said, it's a fool's errand. You're never going to please everyone. But at least you could say, okay, well, you know, George Lucas, the creator of Star Wars, like, these were his ideas. We, you know, zhuzhed them up a bit to make them, you know, less stinky, but...
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't know. I don't. Is that just John, is that just to keep the fans like not?
I mean, again, like it's the question that I have is, do you rely on people who know the franchise the best? So, The Force Awakens was J.J. Abrams co-written by Lawrence Kasdan, who co-wrote The Empire Strikes Back. The Rise of Skywalker was co-written J.J. Abrams with Chris Terrio, who wrote Batman v Superman and Justice League.
Oh.
Okay. So, like, the question is, like, do you say, let's take someone who is fresh and pair them with, like, let's say you take Jon Favreau, who's a good director and a good writer and understands storytelling, and team him with, say, Dave Filoni, who wrote Clone Wars and Rebels and knows Star Wars. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but if you and I know it, not the most intelligent people on the planet.
Right, but know it from the inside. Like, right. I think there's a different, you know what I mean? Like, there's a difference in, I think, being a fan, and there's a difference of, like, okay, I have done a Star Wars TV show, animated, but, like, you know, you have to figure out what you can do and get away with and introduce and pacing and all of that. Like, I don't know. Anyway, Jon Favreau says season 2 of The Mandalorian will come fall 2020. So we do have more to look forward to. It just, like, if you're going to start using that as a model, then
we get
and see the Gamorrean guard from Jabba's palace, like,
see, then we don't, so we only get 4.5 hours every year. Again, a little bit lighter than I'd like, but
a little bit more than a movie.
Yes, it's also BBC like in its quality and length,
right,
if you will.
Yes.
Most anticipated films of next year.
Yeah, you tell me. What are you looking forward to?
Well, Quiet Place 2 for shizzle. I mean, most things on this movie. Wonder Woman, Black Woman, or Black Widow. My girlfriend is
okay,
all over Black Widow.
Talk to me more about Black Woman. I think that will be a good
That's a mashup.
Movie.
It's right next to, it comes out the same weekend as Wonder Widow, 1984.
Okay. Wonder Widow.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're
her
back
poor
to back.
Husband.
Yeah, right. They're back to backs.
That's good.
No, my girlfriend saw the trailer because I told her, I'm like, this, she saw a few movies, Marvel movies that were kind of standalones, the Captain Marvel and Black Panther. So I said, this this might be one you could get in on. And she saw the trailer when we went to go see Star Wars. And she's like, yeah, I mean, it looks fun. And worst case scenario, we just have to stare at Scarlett Johansson for 2 hours in nice outfits.
That's right.
What about you? What are you excited for? I'm not excited
for
Birds of Prey anymore. It looks crap.
Okay, so I'm excited for Tenet. And we're going to talk about the trailer for that in a few minutes. I am excited for Wonder Woman. Marvel's The Eternals. Like, I just don't know what this is going to be. So I'm excited for that. Like, I'm hoping Guardians of the Galaxy, but we'll see. I think No Time to Die, the James Bond. I think that's going to surprise some people in a very The Last Jedi sort of way. So I'm expecting polarization and fanboy hate, but I'm expecting it to be a good movie. But we'll see. Like, I don't know. I guess there's a Dune movie coming because that's mentioned. There's the Ghostbusters movie. What the hell will Sonic the Hedgehog be? Like, I don't know. So, yeah.
Yeah, Sonic, there's that too. I forgot.
Okay, so we can talk about trailers. Now, most of these movies are coming out next year, movies and TV shows. Medical Police,
Doctor Cops,
the comedy.
Cop Doctors.
This, I watched it, I'm like, okay, this is like half the shows on CBS, so it's very timely, it feels like. Little America from Apple Plus TV.
I don't have Apple Plus. I don't know.
It was a good trailer. Like, it looked cool. It's from Kumail Nanjiani and Emily Gordon, the team behind The Big Sick.
Another one of those eight-story.
Right, different immigrant stories. I thought that was interesting. John Henry with Terry Crews.
This is
the things with the hammers.
This is the Terry Crews version of Luke Cage with a hammer.
With I felt like it was John Wick or maybe The Enforcer.
Yeah, but if you look at the first season of Luke Cage, he's going against someone very close to him in the neighborhood again. True. And anyways.
Ludacris with a golden jaw.
Yeah, I don't know if he got shot in the face as a kid or...
Yeah.
Uh-oh, you added this one late.
Buffalo, that was always there.
Shit.
So Buffaloed is a comedy, and I added it because it was set in Buffalo, New York.
No. Okay. Well, I did not
Downhill?
Watch it. Downhill That's looks okay. weird. I'm like, oh, not another Will Ferrell thing. And then it's...
Okay, so Downhill is a remake of the Swedish film Force Majeure. Which is it's the same thing. It's a comedy drama about a family that's on vacation. There's an avalanche, and the father husband saves himself and not his family. And then it's kind of like the aftermath of that.
It is definitely an interesting setup.
Yeah.
He
grabbed his phone. He grabbed his phone and ran away. Oh, you can't run in ski boots.
That's great too, because they're at whatever therapy. I'll check it out, maybe. I'm not going to go see it, but the way he's right. not usually an actor like this to me. Will Ferrell, that is.
A couple horror thriller type movies, Saint Maud.
This looks creepy.
The Woman in the Window.
This is Amy Adams, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this looks, this reminded me of a Sigourney Weaver flick called Copycat from years ago.
Okay. Or maybe Rear Window or the Shia LaBeouf remake Disturbia.
I have seen that. But she actually has agoraphobia. So
yes.
this looks interesting to me.
She's an unreliable narrator, perhaps.
That too, yes. Like
Come to Daddy.
This looks fucking weird, but I like him in the last few things I've seen him in. Who is okay. him? Who's the young dude?
Frodo Baggins. Elijah Wood.
Yes, I loved him in Green Street Hooligans. I will always okay. give him a chance because of that movie.
Okay. I will always give him a ring and tell him to go to Mordor, but he does not know the way. So I pledge my bow, my sword. And my ass.
I will always give him a ring and tell him to hop on an eagle, but he says no mm-hmm. and decides to grab a party and go elsewhere.
Fly, you fools. The Gentleman?
Yes. I'm ready. When
okay,
is this?
So they're like, all right, this is from Guy Ritchie, who did
Snatch.
Snatch and whatever. Not King Arthur at the Legend of the Sword.
Right. Yeah, why would they do that?
Let's just ignore that. Let's forget that even
That wasn't even
existed.
A thing, was it?
Right, okay. Yeah, no, it definitely was. It was a movie that came out in the last decade or last year or whatever. Yeah, I don't know with this one. It's kind of weird. I love the cast, but then
it's just,
I don't see them doing anything interesting in the trailer.
Think Snatch or Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yeah.
There should be at least... a thing. I'm not going to hedge my bets more than that.
Where did we... Oh, Onward?
This I'm not probably going to go see. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, it looks cool. Like, I dig the fantasy trappings of it. And also the Weekend at Bernie's vibe with the half-dead dad. But
you'll rent it or get it on Disney Plus or whatever.
Yeah, probably more likely that. Okay. One I definitely need to see in the theater, 1917.
We're going to go. I've been telling my girlfriend about this movie for a minute.
Yeah.
And she did a build, which is set in 1917. So she's been
okay.
thinking about this year a lot and whatnot. And
a build of, like, what do you mean a build of what?
She does miniatures.
Okay.
So she's doing a 1917 rural mail delivery. Anyways.
Okay.
So,
like, for her job or her hobby?
Hobby.
Okay. Okay. Sorry.
Nerdy. She has a few magazine covers.
Cool. Yeah.
So I was telling her about this, and as soon as she saw the trailer, she's like, we have to go see this next weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're either going this Saturday
it came
or
out,
next.
I thought it came out this week, but it's not until the 10th, I think January 10th.
Oh, really?
Anyway, it's already gotten awards buzz. I think it's going to be really, really cool to see. Apparently, like one take, like they really stick the this is one take or presented as one take. So
It says it came out Christmas Day.
Right, but like limited release. Oh. Like I think you for you and me who don't live in New York or L.A., in L.A., if we want to see it, it's going to be a week or two.
Bastards. All right. Well, either way, my girlfriend and I are going to see this because it looks epic and sweeping.
Two words that have been used to describe it. A Quiet Place 2.
I hate the fucking trailer okay, for the
so
trailer.
Okay, so we don't have the full trailer. We have the trailer for the trailer. The full trailer apparently is coming out New Year's Day. So we're recording December 30th.
I'm at least happy
hopefully releasing
that this, yeah. They give us a few seconds and you see the kids
you
a
see
few
the
years older,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Other than that, yep. This is just a teaser and I don't like it.
Where's the baby? Is the baby in the box?
The baby's back at home with dad in the bunker building earpiece
dad
bombs.
Dad died.
Oh, shit. Spoiler alert.
John Krasinski got eaten by the thing.
Oh, my God. Spoiler alert.
Remember he said, I love you.
I love
and
you.
Then he went, and then he died.
Star Trek Picard. I mean, I'm ready already.
I'm so ready.
It's a 30
seconder. Did you see the yeah, I know. But did you see the Hugh of Borg? They got the same actor to come back?
No, but my girlfriend and I are rewatching Deadwood, and in the okay. second or third season, one of the madams randomly pops up, and my girlfriend goes, Borg Queen.
No way. Yeah. Alice Creech?
Yeah. She's a madam in one of the last couple seasons.
Well, she was trying to sex up Data, remember? Blowing on his arm, getting his follicles all excited there.
I don't remember that part, but bot on bot crime.
Well, it's like when you know what ASMR is? The YouTube. Okay. All right. You're serious, right?
Yeah. I do a porncast, remember?
So, like, yeah. Okay, right. So, I'm sorry. Okay. I describe it as like that scene in Star Trek First Contact where she blows on Data's arm and you're like, oh.
Such a nerd.
All right. Most exciting trailer that I was so excited to get. I posted !! Tenet.
This is, honestly, I'm glad I didn't see any of the other trailers before this.
Okay.
This looks
like
weird.
The bootleg trailers.
That, yeah. I mean, this is exactly what I want from my Christopher Nolans.
Yeah. Okay. So welcome to Afterlife, right? So we have control over time, forwards and backwards. We see things that haven't happened yet. And what the hell is this movie about?
They're like
spies
or soldiers, yeah. Or they're yep. like that old show 7 Days where they okay. can stop stuff that happens, bad stuff, but only right. in 7 days, right. Like something weird clearly with time manipulation. Or I mean, they're like running up buildings like fucking Spider-Man with pre-lined ropes to kill people.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yep.
And this is what, July? I gotta wait 8 months?
Yeah. So this is yeah no I, it looks really cool. Definitely one of the films that I am most anticipating for the year. I mean, I think Christopher Nolan has been on a bit of a tear since he did Batman. So we had Inception, we had Interstellar, we had Dunkirk.
Movie
all movies
neither
that
of
have
us
played with
talked about Interstellar for as good movies.
Yeah, that all have played with time. And it seems like this is leaning the most into actually manipulating time and using time in interesting ways. So I'm excited.
Yeah, this is something we will have to talk about on the cast.
Sure.
All right, quick. All right. Let's knock out some spoiler-free reviews.
Very briefly, right?
Yeah. So Lobster shared in the group me this awesome set of hoodies that are basically silk screened or printed in a phenomenal way, and they're super dope. And I saw them. They make like 175 or more different versions. They're called Drunk Monk, M-U-N-K, Drunk Monk Hero Hoodies. I have the Expanse one, and it looks like Amos's jumpsuit with the Bratnus gas on the back and all the patches that he has. And then I also got Ripley's Nostromo zip up. It says Nostromo on the back and her rainbow like patch on the left arm, and honestly, they're awesome. They're a bit big for the size. You can wear other stuff under them comfortably. And I mean, they seem like they're going to last. So I'm super happy. That's about all I've done with my Christmas.
Yeah, it's so funny because I found this ad, and you get these Facebook ads for different stuff. But the ones that kind of caught my eye, and I had originally shared with Beef, because I know he's into cosplay and different fandoms, and they have a Ghostbusters, a Star Trek The Wrath of Khan uniform, the Trevor Belmont
looked
one.
Looked awesome.
The Gondor hero, Tree of Gondor, with it on there.
They have a vault suit.
Yeah, the Skeletor one I absolutely love. So, I mean, these are really, really cool designs. I have not ordered one yet. I've been begging Beef to kind of give me his review and send me a couple pictures of what they look like, because you look at them on the website and it's kind of hard to tell, you know, what they would look like in real life. And I'm picky on my hoodies. I like that these are zip up, so you could kind of wear it as a jacket or something like that, but then like zip it up and get the full effect. But they're $75 a piece. I'm going to reach out to these guys, see if they would like to talk to us about a promo code that we could offer. But anyway.
Yeah, they're either way, they are pricey, but they are quality from what I've seen. And they also offer like a storm shell or something they call. So it's like beefier, lined, and I don't know. They're cool thus far. What about you? What have you been doing over the last week or so?
Okay, so again, it has been the Christmas week, so my wife and I decided to watch the third season of The Crown on Netflix. So we did that, and that is with Olivia Colman, Helena Bonham Carter, Tobias Menzies. Really, really fun. Again, 10 episodes. It's cool if you're into that history. So right now you're getting to meet Prince Charles and Princess Anne in their teens and 20s and kind of see how that all unfolds. After we finished that, we were kind of in a period piece mood. So we watched the Downton Abbey movie, the motion picture. We rented that and watched it. That was great. And then I have been watching The Witcher on Netflix. So right now I am through the fourth episode where they introduce the law of surprise, which is apparently really important. And so that has been enjoyable so far. It is definitely not Game of Thrones. it's kind of, I heard it described as kind of like Xena Warrior Princess. Like each week is a monster of the week and kind of a different story. But there is an overarching backstory. And spoilers, it is a very Westworld type of narrative.
Ah.
Okay. So make of that what you will.
Okay. Well, now apparently I'm more intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, hey, for a great year of many, many casts, I think this was a fun year. A lot of good stuff. We looked back on an awesome year of 1999, maybe a little bit more than I would have liked.
Yeah, but, yeah. We'll definitely mix it up going forward.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for kicking ass and always helping me with the show and making it roll.
Always a pleasure.
Well, you make us go. All right, next time, Legends Podcast.
Wait, do the thing. Do the other thing.
Oh, shit. You guys have a comment, question, or recommendation? Email us at legendspodcasts@gmail.com with an extra S for Snoke. Legends Podcasts, plural.
podcasts@gmail.com, podcasts.
Yeah, the other one's taken. Yeah. Actually, I think Wing just lost the
We had login. It, and then we forgot the password. Yeah, or so something. We just created another one, because we want to get more. Our New Year's resolution is to hear more from you, the listener. So when we run out of ideas of what to talk about, or you are sick of us talking about one particular thing, tell us, and we'll do better.
Yeah, hell yeah. I mean, comment cards digitally and, you know, just we'll make up a lot more emails because they're free. So
that's right.
Next time, Legends Podcast, we ring in the new year with a month of crappy movies. Canuary is back. Yes, we don't know what we're doing yet, but we're going to do something.
Yeah, so we have a couple good ideas for what we're going to do for the theme for next month. There will be a theme through the month. They will be bad movies. That will be the theme. But there will be something other that relates them. And I look forward to this. It's kind of a cleanse, if you will.
Getting ready for good movies.
Yeah, and it's always tough because by the end of the month, we're like, why did we do this to ourselves? But again, you know, people go on diets and work out and, you know, make all these self-improvement things that always seem to be painful, at least at first. So that's what we do too.
We need to get like a good toilet flushing sound effect for the intro for January.
Yeah, I'll work on it.
This has been episode 453 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef Sang. This is the last podcast of 2019. Ring in the roaring 20s.
You're listening to this. You're listening to this in 1999. Remember to turn off your computer before midnight so it doesn't
get infected.
Y2K. And I'm John O'Lobster saying this is 2020.
Okay, Barbara.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, that was a cast. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. You can also send us an email to legendspodcasts@gmail.com. That is podcast, plural. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com. You can also visit legendspodcast.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on the show is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada or GunnaGeek. No infringement is intended.